Welcome to Hate Podcast, where we talk about the ghosts of the past and look to the spirit of the future. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Hannah.
How are you?
Let me tell you, Mucinex is a beautiful thing.
Oh my God, you actually do sound something. What if we had recorded 2 days ago? Because you sounded...
We couldn't have.
No, we had to skip it. Jadio could have done nothing about you.
No.
You sounded so bad.
Uh-huh.
And I had a hard time believing that you felt fine, because you sounded so terrible.
See, the thing was, like, I physically felt fine, but it was all stuck in my nose, which is like a really annoying dichotomy to like not... I could breathe fine, but it was like so much congestion. And then the rest of my body was like, let's go do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't breathe.
It was hard. I kept like, you would sound normal and then there'd be like a particularly nasal sounding thing you said. And I'd be like, it was like a double tick.
Yep.
Are you chasing your summer high, Jessica?
I am.
I think we won't go into this episode, but we found our summertime high, I do believe, at the baseball game.
I would say high 1.A. Because I have an important question to ask you today.
Okay, I'm ready.
What is your perfect summer vibe?
Oh, the perfect summer vibe. Okay, let me hear me out. Hear me out. Okay. We are... It's not the beach.
Okay.
You'll be surprised.
I'm not.
Be surprised, Jessica. Help me build my moment. Gasp of shock.
Okay. I can't take deep breath. It's going to make me pop.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I like cued you. I was like, gasp of surprise, Jessica. No, it's okay. Go to the mountains.
Okay.
I'm going to the Smoky Mountains.
Okay.
I'm going to go on a nice little hike. I'm going to hike out to a waterfall or maybe a mountaintop. We don't know which one. We're going to be surprised.
Why not both?
Both. On the way. I'm going to like take in a sunrise. I'm going to go back down. I'm going to find myself a creek. I'm going to take my shoes off. Hopefully take my clothes off. Hopefully nobody's around. We're going to get into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to skinny dip.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a beer and we're skin dipping.
Okay.
Summertime vibe.
Okay.
This is my vibe. And I am chasing this vibe in the next month.
Okay.
We're going to try it. We're going to see if it happens for me. If the public is in public, I'll leave it set.
Free the nips. That's all I'm saying.
It's just, I don't know. The girls out, my children have asked why they cannot be topless when the boys can't. And I said, because girls' nipples are apparently a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even going to shield them from that truth. It's time.
Get them in early.
You gotta face social justice issues as they're happening. And yes, the nipples are for social justice.
Yep.
What is happening over there with your phone? You got something to share with me? What's up?
Well, first I'm going to tell you my perfect summer vibe.
Okay.
We are different. First of all, it's not having a sinus infection when it's 95 fucking degrees outside.
This is very miserable for you.
Okay, picture.
I'm picturing. I'm
ready. Any beach of your choice.
Beach, okay. Different vibes.
Personally, I like Treasure Island.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Am I just learning that Treasure Island's a real place?
I don't know if the two are mutually exclusive. Okay. I don't know which one came first. This one is off, like, kind of towards the Florida Keys, kind of out in that short area.
Mm.
Kind of like St. Pete's, kind of over there.
Oh, okay.
It is stuck in the vibes of the past in a way that's, like, I find pretty unproblematic.
Okay.
It's like... It had to have been the hot place to go.
Yeah.
In 1957.
Back in the days of the pirates. Yeah.
Like we used to, yes, in 1957, in the days of the pirates.
I don't know why I translated 1857 in my head. Carry on. Wrong syndrome.
The last time I was there, we stayed at the Thunderbird Motel.
Fun.
10 out of 10. You know what they have at the Thunderbird Hotel? The famed Icky Woo Woo. The Tiki Bar. Right on the beach. 10 out of 10.
And you just walked to the beach with your...
Uh-huh. With my drink from the Icky Woo Woo.
Oh. Well, I hope this happens
But it's not
for
like
you.
Super crowded. Okay. So, all right. Okay. You're on the beach.
I'm on the beach.
You've had a day.
A wonderful day.
Okay. You're back at the Thunderbird Motel.
Yes.
You're a little bit sunburned. Mm. Crispy, but not fried.
As one is.
You're turkey bacon at this point.
Okay.
Oven fried.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You'll be gone a couple of days.
Yes. You've just had a nice, crisp turkey Sammy.
Mm.
Chips in it.
Obviously.
White bread.
Oh.
Cold Corona. It's almost your turn for the shower. I'm assuming there's multiple people in the hotel room at this time.
Frenzy friends.
Yes. You're having a little snooze before you go to arguably the worst Italian restaurant you're ever going to go to.
All Italian restaurants at the beach are terrible.
But you got to go to one.
Yeah, we can't resist.
It's going to be like something like mildly problematic in the name. It's going to be like St. Vincenzo's. And they're going to sell you nudes. Reaching for that. Will I get there this summer? No, I don't think so. But I can chase the vibe.
Mm-hmm. I believe that, like, next summer is a possibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, you know, I always think about, like, I'm not that far away from, like, I could just go to the shores. We're not that far.
Honestly.
But there's sharks out there.
If you want to, well, at the moment, but they're mostly in Florida. If we wanted to hop in the car.
Girl from where? I think that girl's from Birmingham that just got her arm ripped off.
Well, she might be from Birmingham. She's in Florida. So if we go to the Gulf in Alabama.
That happened in Alabama.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that happened in Mobile.
We're going to Mobile. We're going to wait till they clear out. If you and me wanted to get in a car, Jessica, 5 a.m, think about this.
Okay.
No. You'll be sleeping in the front seat. I'll be driving because I'm a morning person. I will drive us to the beach. We're going to get there at 9 a.m. I'm going to take you to Waffle House.
No, you're not. No? Absolutely, you're not going to do that.
You're not going to. You are not a Waffle House person?
Let me tell you something about Waffle House. It's just Southern hibachi.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's delicious. You know what I also
No,
love?
It's not.
Hibachi.
Yeah, which is delicious. Waffle House is. It's just regular.
Yeah. But. Okay. I'll take you somewhere else. We're going to go get some breakfast. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to spend all day on the beach.
The way to the beach to take me to Waffle House? Are you kidding me?
It's on the way. We got to have some carbs in us because it's the beach. There is no beginning of drinking time. It's all drinking time. We got to get some potato hash browns in us.
Okay.
Unlike the other kind of hash browns. We're going to suck all that in. We're going to sit on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you're a night person, you're going to drive us home.
Okay.
It's a 15-hour trip.
All right.
We should do this.
I'm down for that.
Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been, do you follow Mama Tot?
No.
I think I've sent a couple of videos of her. She does the ones that I sent you over a couple of times where she just like sits with you while you eat lunch and she's outside by herself. It's very sweet.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
I follow her because she's so sweet, but also like doesn't take people's shit.
No.
But she lives in Mobile and she's been putting us on to like the good spots to eat locally.
Oh, okay. Well, we can find a good spot. And I have
like a lunch.
I have some friends who lives in Mobile. Mm-hmm. Mobile, as some say. Jessica, did we make plans live on the air?
Yeah, now we got to follow up.
What if we don't go?
They're going to be like, how was your beach trip? And we're going to be like, what? What do you mean?
The best time to go is in September when the kids are in school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could do that. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the girl? I feel like you have. If not, I'm absolutely going to put it on our Instagram.
Okay.
I will send it to you if you haven't. I don't remember her handle off the top of my head. About acclimatizing yourself to the water.
Oh, acclimatize.
Double acclimatize. Partial acclimatize. Count me down.
I kid you not, I did that, unsurprisingly, in a waterfall. I felt like it worked. I felt acclimatized. All right, in September on a Wednesday.
You know, I got a full-time job. Come on now.
Okay, well, some of us, we can just, you know, we all got PTO.
Do we?
This is the meeting of both of our summertime highs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are we talking about today?
Well,
are you having a policy or something else to talk about?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have another edition of the internet send it to me, so now you get to see it.
I'm upset that I'm not getting fun Instagram ads.
My algorithm is fucked.
Mm-hmm, apparently.
Okay.
What?
A little different from last week.
Okay. What was, okay, we had dildo necklace.
Last week was selling your plasma to get married.
Oh, so get married.
Okay. This one, I'm going to give you all of the details, but I want you to guess what they do.
Okay. Okay.
Like, what is the specialty of the place?
Okay. Okay.
Because I've been learning, because
I'm 150
years old,
oh,
that there is such a thing on Instagram. Maybe it's also on TikTok. I don't know. Called a mythical reel poll.
Mm.
Okay. Ready?
Okay.
All right. This comes from Southern Crescent Medical Clinic.
Southern Crescent Medical Clinic.
And from their bio, quote, an integrated medical clinic serving the Southern Crescent of Atlanta for 40 years, specializing in personal injuries.
Okay.
Okay. If you would please guess the injuries.
Personal injury. So it's personal to you.
Yeah.
I have to say it because my mind will go nowhere else until I do. Okay. But like a penis problem?
No.
Okay, that felt very personal to me.
Like an aftermath problem.
Okay. Like a car accident?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So.
That was way off.
I mean, depending on the accident.
I mean, but I mean, if you're going to think about an extremely personal, you're going to think about an extremely personal injury.
Yes.
You know.
Okay. I'm not even sorry, actually. Okay.
Oh.
On average, the Southern Crescent Medical Clinic typically gets like a couple of likes, less than 10, and maybe like 500 real views.
Okay, so you went and checked out.
I did.
Southern. Okay.
For context. For this obviously. This one has received 736,000 views and has received 11,400 likes.
It's a little sketchy.
Okay, this is just a white man.
Oh, just a man.
And this is Dr. Seth A. Schwartz, MD. Sorry, Seth. And he is a specialist in female seatbelt trauma. Like after you get in a car accident, like it affects. Okay. Which is an incredibly specific thing to specialize that as a doctor. Is
so specific.
Yeah. Okay.
Seatbelt trauma.
Most importantly is the comments that just.
Seatbelt trauma.
Okay. It's going to make me giggle. Okay. I'm going to say the usernames because it's going to matter in a minute. So this is Christini89 said, show me on the doll where the seatbelt touched you. Unfortunately, Southern Crescent Medical Clinic didn't catch the joke.
Oh, no.
Look at our post of the female seatbelt trauma on our page.
Southern Crescent. No.
The one... It gets me every time I see it, and this is why I saved it, and this is why you must be subjected to it. From dirtbag.mp4. Now, if I remind you that Dr. Seth Schwartz is a specialist in female seatbelt trauma. Dirtbag.mp4. He's a tit bruise connoisseur.
I'm assuming Southern Crescent Research got that joke on that one.
No, nothing.
Oh, no.
Literally nothing.
Do you think they're a bot?
Like eight comments down, someone else was like, Dr. Schwartz is a legendary 99 rating, and they liked that.
Oh. Well, Jessica, have you ever been the victim of a female trauma from a seatbelt injury?
You know, I wasn't a really horrific car accident almost a decade ago, but I don't remember much about the seatbelt trauma.
Well, it's because you were head-to-head injury.
Yeah, and then let me rant about that for a second. You know what you don't do after someone's had the airbag blow up in their face? Leave them alone at home to just go to sleep.
No, you take those people to the hospital, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, Jessica, you were so young.
And then I was also dating a guy at the time. I was like, hey, I was in a car accident. And he was like, do I need to be there?
Oh.
That's not the choice of words you use.
Did you break up with him?
Not that long after, yeah. Okay. Well, he dumped me.
Oh, well, that's rough stuff.
Well, retrospectively. Should have ended way before it did, but...
Yeah. Well, Jessica, I hate that for you. We all have to learn things.
The correct answer is, I'm on my way.
Yeah. It's...
So, yeah. Southern... What did I say it was? Southern Crescent Medical.
Did we even know there's a Northern Crescent and a Southern Crescent?
You know how I feel about Atlanta, so...
Avoid at all costs.
All right, Hannah, what are we talking about today?
Jessica, we are burning books today.
Oh, okay.
Let me give you two different scenarios.
All right.
To match our summertime fops.
Okay.
I'm into mountains.
All right.
I'm on a little trail run.
Okay.
I do not have a first aid kit with me.
Okay.
I have Band-Aids.
Just Band-Aids. A pocket full of Band-Aids.
Just a couple, like four Band-Aids.
Okay.
The weight.
Are they all the same size?
No, there's a large one, a small one. So I'm prepared for all injuries. All
right.
Except.
Okay.
A broken leg.
Oh.
My husband, wilderness first aid trained. He's upset because of the Band-Aids.
Okay.
But I can't reach out to him because I'm in the Smoky Mountains chasing my summertime high. I have to stay alive.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
I did, though. That's been a mistake. Please, I couldn't carry Band-Aids.
Rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
I'm carrying a book.
Okay, you can't bring more than four Band-Aids, but you got a book. All right. The
book is necessary for survival. I will burn it to stay alive through the night.
Okay.
You are chasing your summertime high on Treasure Island.
Yes.
Turns out, Treasure Island is an island. You are lost and alone. You, too... have your Corona, your Turkey Sammy,
mm-hmm.
and a book to burn.
I just want to specify real quick, the appropriate kind of chips for a Turkey Sammy in that situation is a wavy potato chip.
For the appropriate.
But all I have at this instance is a book.
Mm-hmm,
book. Okay.
To burn.
Got it.
You can roast your Sammy.
Okay.
Like a toasted situation.
Okay.
And that's our survival item.
All right.
What books are we burning today, Jessica? To stay alive. So I want you to give me a not so serious book, like a jokey joke, like a hee hee.
Okay.
But, and then we're going to have a hot take.
All right.
And
I got to.
Let's go.
I got to take you on a journey.
Let's go on a journey.
Just for a little context.
You are always taking me on journeys. So because I expect nothing less.
I feel like this is a niche choice. So the journey is important.
Okay. My choice is not niche, so I love the balance.
Okay. All right. Picture it. Mm-hmm. I'm 17 in my hometown. Mm-hmm. I'm at Barnes & Noble because that's the only bookstore because they closed Borders a number of years before that. Disappointingly. Interestingly, Borders was the first place I got introduced to a series of unfortunate events.
Oh.
Good times.
One moments.
It's in the back right corner, right next to all the, what are they called? The metaphysical.
Mm.
As a current woo-woo, it is what it is. Fate.
It was meant to be. All right.
So I'm at Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
I'm minding my own business and spending my own money.
Proud of you for that.
I buy a copy of I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell by Tucker Max.
Oh, okay. Specific.
It's a memoir. Which was, if I remember right next to the maps, that was weird.
Okay. So I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Yes. By Tucker Max.
Okay. Appropriate books for 17-year-olds.
Right. Okay. I just want to preface this that, like, the bookend is that, like, his only saving grace for airing the hell out of his friends is that he gives them all nicknames.
Oh.
Okay. So, good. The whole series, which I will rant about in a minute.
I'm ready.
It's just funny recounted tales of him being an absolute trash human being in college.
Mm.
Sorry to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So.
Oh.
Here's what it is.
It doesn't be that way.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's why I think we should... Not that you asked. Save one, and it's not the book I'm going to burn, but is the important first book of a trio.
Okay, so we're going to save one, and we're going to burn another one.
I'm not going to bring this... Treasure Island isn't going to see I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Okay.
But this is why it led me to the second one, which I would burn. Arguably, the best monologue of all time happens in I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. And it comes from a friend that he has nicknamed Sling Blade.
Mm.
Because he's from the South. That's the only reason they call him Sling Blade.
No, I don't. I mean, maybe I'm missing something about the South, but I don't know how else.
You've never seen the movie Sling Blade, have you?
No. Okay. So I'm missing some context there is what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We don't have to explain it right now. I understand.
Okay. High notes. High Sling notes. Blade. Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm.
Ex-Mr. Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
Plays a man who kills Dwight Yoakam. For beating the hell out of a woman who takes him in after he gets out of a mental hospital.
Oh, okay.
Deeply, deeply Southern.
Okay.
Okay.
So he named him Sling Blade.
Sling Blade, after the movie.
Nice.
Okay. This, I'm going to read you the whole page.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to make a point.
Settle in, folks.
Okay. This is a dedication to the McGriddle. I know you were not a McDonald's eater.
No.
But you've... Seen an advertisement for a McGriddle.
I've seen a commercial.
Okay. Tucker says, quote, dude, that thing looks disgusting. It has to be nasty with the syrup shit in it. What is that? Sling Blade. Here we go. I printed this out. Look how long it is.
Okay, I'm ready. Settle in, audience.
I can only assume from your cavalier attitude that you have yet to partake in the wonderment that is the McGriddle. Let me enlighten you. What happens is the one true god grows them on trees in the Elysian fields using the heretofore unused incantation. He then proceeds to magic them down to your local eatery, wherever ghetto bastard cook your McDonald's has rescued from welfare from that week's proceeds, to wrap it up in cellophane and pass it along to you, the fortunate customer. You proceed to ingest this finery in the vain hope that your obvious overmatched taste buds can somehow grasp the delectable intricacies it is suddenly faced with. Is that egg? Why, yes, it is. And bacon, too. But wait, they didn't add. Yes, they did. Yes, they did indeed. They added cheese. And then, my friends, they wrap it in a sumptuous pancake bun. As your taste buds try to process that amazing piece of information, it hits them. The syrup nugget. The motherfucking syrup nugget. It's announced itself with a burst of confectionery grandiosity, the likes of which your palate has never seen. Tucker, so you like them. Sling Blade. If you ever speak ill of the McGriddle again, I will personally force feed you one while I fuck you in the butt using the wrapper as a condom and then donkey punch you with the infused syrup nuggets to explode in your mouth. So that's the vibe of I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Mm-hmm. Fun
it's vibe. Very like unserious college boy bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. The movie comes out. I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Okay.
Which is like a caricature of a book. It's like, oh, I did mean things to my friends, and now they don't want to be my friends. And then he wins his friends back.
Mm.
Which is not the same as I will, what was it? I will fuck you in the butt using the wrapper as a condom.
No, it's not quite the same.
No. And then he puts out a second one.
Okay.
Which I will burn.
Oh, we're going to burn the second one. Yeah. Sequel did not measure up a kiss.
No. This one's called Assholes Finish First.
Mm.
And where the first one was like some drunken sex escapades and some bullshit with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
This one is like, how did more women not take you to court?
Yeah. Got too serious.
What should do? Now he's in like, I think grad school. You should know better by then.
Yeah.
We should be out of that by the time we get to grad school.
It's not cute anymore.
It says that they're, quote, new and exclusive stories that are just, I mean, it's just the same shit from the last book,
but he didn't
over the top.
Yeah. And he didn't like grow up at all.
No. It also gets followed by Hilarity Ensues, which is just him like milking everything he can get out of the series.
Oh, well.
And there's a fourth one.
Oh.
Called Sloppy Seconds, which is just stories from the first three.
So it's Sloppy Fourths?
Yeah.
Well, Jessica, I validate you.
So I would get rid of the Assholes Finish First.
Okay.
Because we didn't need to. We really didn't. The movie did not constitute the need for a second book.
Mm. Well, sometimes you're like, look, I made a buck off one thing. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. You could have stopped at the McGriddle. It's a great monologue.
That is actually really funny.
Sling Blade, wherever you are, up and doing well.
Mm. Still, I hope you're still eating those.
Yeah. I have had one recently, and you don't, because you don't really eat fast food.
I eat Chick-fil-A.
Okay. All right. Well. But if you were going to take it.
I do love a chicken nug.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. If you were going to take an ingredient from like all of your favorite foods.
Okay.
Mine would be the honey butter chicken from Whataburger. On the McGriddle pancake itself.
With a little sweet and savory.
Yeah, with the Swiss cheese specifically from Wendy's.
Okay.
That's what that monologue would mean. Like if I was going to put a monologue together like that, it would be like, how do I bring all of the perfect ingredients together to highlight the McGriddle pancake?
So the monologue has spoken to you.
Yes.
And has produced, in some sense, new art.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's keeping me warm on Treasure Island with my Turkey Sammy and my one Corona.
I understand.
Okay, you've broken your leg up in the smoky somewhere.
Yes, indeed.
You have four Band-Aids, which isn't putting your bones back together.
No, they're just sitting out, just waiting for rescue, you know? I'm going to crawl back down. I am burning. I think some people might find this to be a hot take, but I do intend it to be a jokey joke.
Okay.
I'm cheating a little bit, Jessica.
All right.
You burned three books, though.
I burned one book.
Okay, well, in spirit, three.
I talked about four.
I'm burning seven books.
Okay, just a second series.
I can't actually, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I hope it's seven books, because then I can't actually remember how many books are in the series. Okay. It is a Harry Potter series.
Oh, okay.
I am burning them. I have several reasons.
Okay.
I have a big reason, but I have two other small reasons.
All right.
One is J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Why is she like that? We're just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Why is she like that? Mm-hmm. The second is, as an adult reader looking back, it's a very, like, poorly written book.
Mm.
Did you read? You only read the first one, right?
I think I did the first three.
First three. It's like the world building is kind of lazy. There's quite a few plot holes. Her math is often wrong. And like the dates when people met. She created like conundrums that she had to like retroactive, like look back and like fix. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the Thestrals.
No.
Okay. Okay. It's like the animal that you're only supposed to be able to see them. So there's carriages that carry the students to school, and they look to be pulled by nothing. And then one of the books, Harry can see that the Thestrals are pulling them, and it turns out the only people who have seen death can see the Thestrals. Which is kind of like, why? Maybe the books explain it, and I forgot. But Harry, at that point, he'd already seen death before, like, the event that calls him to see the Thestrals.
If I remember right, death is kind of always chasing him anyway.
Yeah, he's just like a kid. Lots of death surrounds him. He's like a bad omen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People die. People die for Harry. For no reason. I mean, except his mom. But it's his mom.
Yeah.
You gotta die for your kids. Man. But anyway, she had to, like, retroactively, like, explain, like, why he only just saw them after this one person died, even though his parents had died in front of him when he was a baby. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of stuff. The time turner.
Well, he was a baby.
Well, okay, Jessica, he's...
That's not fair.
He technically seen death, though.
Well, how is he supposed to know that? He's a baby.
Okay, well, you and J.K. Rowling are alike on this one.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I hope that's the only thing.
No, that's probably the only thing, yeah. The time turner thing, where, like, it's overpowered, and then she has to, like, manufacture the killing of all time, like, the destruction of all time turners. because like she gave too much power to the time turners and they could have fixed everything in the book.
It sounds damnly like, is it, which one snaps all his fingers and kills all the Avengers?
Thanos. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you did too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You made it too powerful. And now it's like, just, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So she did too much. She had to fix it. But I, those are all things like I look back at as an adult. As a kid, when I was reading these, I think I read these like as a teenager. And as you know, Jessica was raised in a cult. And in like the super, like super hyper fundamentalist religious background outside of the cult. And so like I read like, you were really restricted only like reading Christian stuff. And so like Harry Potter, it was one of the first like not Christian things that I had read. But also, and I actually, now that I think, I don't even remember how I got my hands on it because it was so not allowed. But also like, you know, magic, like even like Pokemon was like all tools of the devil. And so like when I read it, it was the first time I read tools. I kid you not, it was.
I'm just imagining like the seven levels of hell and it's just like Pikachu with the seventh.
Just down. I kid you not, one time a kid was holding Pokemon cards in one of the pews and the pastor in that moment started preaching about how evil Pokemon was. Because he saw it.
Why?
Because it's so evil. I actually don't remember. It's just, I don't know.
Okay.
Imagination, I think, is wrong. But it kind of, I mean, it really, like, it was the first to, like, open my imagination to, like, a new world.
It seems sort of like, at least for our generation, because I think I got the first one when I was in maybe, like, fourth or fifth grade. It's kind of like, I personally, maybe this is a bonus hot take, like, our sort of, like, youth introduction into, like, reading fantasy.
Yes. It was like, it's a big fantasy thing and magic. And especially, I kind of miss it because I was older when I started reading them. But like, a lot of kids like really grew up with the characters.
Oh, that's true. Because we were like kind of in the same age group.
Yeah. You're looking at it was, and he grew up in the book. So that's kind of like a thing. And so anyway, but there was a problem in the book that made me so upset. Even as like a really young, this is my first time reading actual literature. Like, but and I said, the Deus Ex Machina, which I'm probably saying wrong, is like a concept.
Amadeus, 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 Amadeus.
You're in a singing mood today.
Amadeus.
Did you say, is that what it
is? I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, well, it means the god in the machine. I do think Deus is the way to say the first one.
Well, okay.
But the Machina is making me, is it Machina? Which seems weird. I think it's Machina.
You know what I'm thinking of is the Tech N9ne song, I'm a Player, I'm a Player.
I obviously do not know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's fine. We'll put it in the playlist. It's cool.
Okay. I'm just going to put it in there. But it is a situation in which it's like the timely, it originally showed up as like a god would show up to like fix everything. Like it was like a magical solution to all the conflict that was guiding the plot. And now it's sort of like a generally, it's like a sudden unexpected appearance. And it provides, like, it's like a contrived solution to, like, a crisis.
Oh.
Like, a conflict and a thing. But, like, it happens all the fucking time in the Harry Potter books. And, like, Harry's supposed to be this, like, terrific, like, wizard. But then, like, in the first, and he's a child, so I'll, like, give him credit. But, like, Fox, the little phoenix, shows up to, like, rescue Harry in the end of the first book, like, magically. Like, all is dire, and this magical phoenix appears. Which I could forgive if it happened once.
Okay.
But it literally happens constantly. Like, Harry's power of love just defeated, which, first of all, how fucking dumb. It defeats the big bad in book one. He just has, like, a power of love from his mother, which is, like, why didn't, like, other children have the power of love? He's just, like, literally such a special one. So stupid. The time turner also, which is, like, this it was, like, this thing to resolve the plot. But then created issues in other plots because it could have resolved other plots. And so then J.K. Rowling had to, like, get rid of the time turners.
Is that why, that, I can't remember the name of the series, but it was supposed to have Johnny Depp in it. Is that why this has been dragged on for so long? It's because she's having to fix plot holes.
Probably. Maybe. It could be.
Because he got, fired from that because he had the...
The thing. The was Amber Heard
thing going on. No. It was like a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The prequel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fired from it. It could be. It's like a prequel thing. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah.
This is obviously, I've rejected Harry Potter because I'm so fucking sick of this shit.
But it seems from the outside, I haven't read them in so long, that like she's having to fill a lot of plot holes and then
she's now like creating people don't... them and then filling them.
Yeah.
Or creating situations that our characters are not prepared to like get out of.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, well, these children chase this, like, big bad with, like, Voldemort stuck to the back of his head. And now suddenly Harry has to have the power of love to defeat him. He just, like, holds his little hands on him and he just, like, burns up. And it's like, that's bullshit.
And which book is it that homegirl punches the blonde kid in the face?
That is a great one, and that I can't remember. Prisoner of Azkaban. I think it might be the second one. Third one.
I think it's the third one.
Who knows? The Weasley. And then, one time they're, in a forest of spiders. I think it's Aragog, because they're, big bad. And they're, all going to, and they're going to, kill them. And then the Weasleys have a magical, somewhat sentient car, apparently, that becomes sentient in the moment and just shows up to rescue them.
Okay. You know, there's a... Stephen King wrote a book called Christine that is the same thing.
I'm going to be the J.K. Rowling, but also not be original. That's what I'm saying. But, it's so funny. And I remember the reason I bring these books is because, it bothered me so much, even as, a very young reader who didn't really know a lot about writing and stuff, to,
there's some stuff missing here.
Yeah, there's some bullshit happening. Yeah. So that's why poor planning, poor world building, lazy plotting. But also, let's not do that.
Do you think it's a case of, who would be a contemporary of Homegirl?
Maybe modern day.
Who wrote the Game of Thrones?
You know, R.R. Martin.
Maybe they don't intend to have so many books, but then the book money is so good that you have to keep writing books.
It could be, because she's a sort of one hit wonder. She has not had another successful, and her other books have been not well done. So it was a one hit wonder that I think. If she hadn't captured the audience, so the plot and the writing itself would not have succeeded, you know?
She's not a Stephanie Meyer.
No.
All I'm saying is wow, what a career trajectory for her, because you went from fan fiction to 50 Shades of Grey. Remarkable.
Yes. Wow. Quite a turn.
10 out of 10.
But you write your first book, and you get published, and technically you're envisioning a series, but you're a first-time published author. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's going to get picked up. So you've got to close the book, but leave room for the series if it does well. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like she kept doing that.
Yeah.
Because at that point, Harry Potter was explosive. She could have written it like a series. Anyway.
And I think there's I have to tell you.
Okay.
The Harry Potter adults are the most insufferable human beings I've ever been.
They're worse than Disney adults. It's come on.
But I think they are an example of, they would have been willing to wait for a good sequel.
Mm-hmm. And, for kids' books, they're not bad. Like I said, it is a very imaginative world. Mm-hmm. And it is, but at the same time, when you go back and examine it, you're and it's fine to look back and be maybe that wasn't as great as maybe I thought it was.
Yeah, I feel people are living on the nostalgia of, I remember when Harry Potter first came out, instead of, the storytelling itself.
Yeah, and that's fine. I have some nostalgia for the first time I read Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. It's a very particular point in my journey, out of Christianity. But
I do appreciate, as it turns out. I don't see him too much anymore, the original covers of the Harry Potter books.
And the cover is really cool. Beautiful. Yeah. It's so fun. But anyway, I would burn those, because I think that it has held people back from really good writing, maybe.
Oh, yeah. If people are trying to, emulate a series.
Yeah. Or just kind of this was nothing can top it. It was kind of you got to be able to be
Yeah, it's not dare I say, a terrible romance novel.
It's not, no.
The plot doesn't really matter.
No. It's just, we got to be able to, relative about some.
Okay. All right. Jessica, so, you're in the Smokies, and you have carried with you 7 books and 4 Band-Aids.
Priorities.
Do you burn them in the order in which you read them?
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah.
Or do you burn them in the order in which you hate the most?
I hate all of them because they all have the same problem, which is the problem I just highlighted.
I think I would burn the last one first because it's the biggest.
That's true.
So you get the most longevity.
See, my thought would be I would use the first one for tender, smallest one. Get a little fire going. When the fire's pretty strong and self-sustaining, I would open the last book up very thick. I would lay it sort of on top of the fire in a tent thing so the oxygen can still touch the fire. Mm-hmm. I would have a little nappy nap while that burns up.
Because that one's so boring to read, it's going to put you right to sleep
it's
anyway.
It's actually so fucking boring to read. It was the worst. It was so fucking boring to read. And it's also going to burn the longest, so I can have a little nap, wake up, put more bricks on. Just keep going. I might make it all night.
With your broken leg.
I'm going to drag myself down by my elbows next day. Or maybe float down, naked. We don't know.
Depends on where the waterfall is and what that runs into.
Jessica, what's your serious book? Talk to me about it.
Okay.
We ready? Do you have a long quote this time?
All right. Hannah, I want to talk to you about the people in the trees.
Okay. I actually don't know this book.
All right. It was in 2013. It was published. It's by Hanya Yonaga. I'm going to butcher it every time.
Oh, man.
Hanya, she's Japanese. I did look it up.
Okay. Did you look up the presentation?
Uh-huh. Yanagihara.
That sounds right to me.
You pronounce it on all the vowels.
Yanagihara.
Yes. Okay. This is the description from Goodreads.
Okay.
Quote, in 1950, a young doctor called Norton Perina signs on with the anthropologist Paul Talent for an expedition to the remote Micronesian island of Evu Evu in search of a rumored lost tribe. They succeed, finding not only that tribe, but also a group of forest dwellers they dub, quote, the Dreamers, who turn out to be fantastically long-lived but progressively more senile. Perina suspects the source of their longevity is a hard-to-find turtle. Unable to resist the possibility of eternal life, he kills one and smuggles some meat back to the States. He scientifically proves his thesis, earning worldwide fame and the Nobel Prize, but he soon discovers its miraculous property comes at a terrible price. As things quickly spiral out of his control, his own demons take hold with devastating personal consequences, end quote.
That's just a remarkably detailed plot summary.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
This book is 500 pages long.
Okay.
It goes on for 577 years.
That's a page for every... That's... Okay.
You have to read it in depth. That's how long this goddamn book is. Okay. For like 3/4 of your life, you're in the jungle with these scientists who can't get along. And then there's like one girl, so they're fighting over you because there's one girl scientist. So there's beef between the men.
Obviously. Jesus.
On top of the killing thing.
Oh.
Real problem. Okay. So you read and you read and you read and they're in the jungle and they're in the... For like 17 chapters, they're going up the mountain.
Okay. It's a long journey.
And then they come back down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a very short period of time, they explain to you that he kills one of these people, brings it back to the States, and uses
like the body?
Yeah.
Oh.
To prove a thesis that, like, you can inject something into something else and you can, like, study preventatively that way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. He also has this, like, it's a real weird read. It's some of it's like his journal, some of it's prose. It flips back and forth.
So you're sort of like mixing some genres too.
Yeah. Some of it's Perina's journal, some of it's Talent's journal. So you're not like always 100% sure about who's talking. It's a it's tough to follow along. Now, he adopts 43 of the Evu Evu people.
Oh.
And brings them back to Maryland.
It seems like too many people to care for.
After he gets the Nobel Prize.
Okay.
Because he has this, like, guilt of, like, killing one. He must save them all. It's white man guilt. That's all it is.
Well, I mean, you should have killed them.
Just leave them alone. Yeah. First of all.
Shouldn't have.
Can't underscore that enough.
Shouldn't done that.
But we find out in the first the last 12 pages of the book, he has been molesting them for decades. And one that grows up, he has, like, considerably different behavioral issues than the rest of them. And as an adult, when he finds, like, safety and security on his own, is like, guess what my dad did?
And then they just leave you there?
The dad's like, well, I am who I am, you know?
So the murderer turns out to be an extra bad guy all along?
Yeah, but then this is why I'm going to burn it.
And the book just ditches you with that?
Besides the fact that it's so fucking long.
Well, I mean, you'd be warm for a long time that night, alone on Treasure Island.
But it sends me in a deep dive.
Okay, I'm ready.
One time. That this is actually a little bit true. In
what?
In some ways. There are no magical beasts in the truth, obviously.
Well, okay. Makes sense.
The main character is based off of a scientist, Daniel Carlton Gadzuzic. It's a Slavic name. I can't. I'm actually not even that tripped up on getting it right, to be honest, because he's creepy.
Well, we don't have to name correctly. Douchebags.
Yes. He did win the Nobel Prize. He found that there, amongst the South Four people of Papua New Guinea, they have a traditional practice of funerary cannibalism.
Oh.
And it was causing a spread of the Kuro disease.
What is that?
It just destroys your... Like, your immunity, and, like, it's a neurological situation.
Oh, so you shouldn't maybe cannibalize people.
Perhaps not. And it's not that he was, like, demonizing their practices, necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, he was using them as, like, experimental objects.
Well.
But it was more so of like, is A causing B? And he was able to prove it.
Okay. So he was able to scientifically prove cannibalism bad.
Yeah. And then like they eradicated the Kuru disease in these people in one generation if you just stop doing the practice of funerary cannibalism.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's figuring this out because he's using animal testing.
Oh, okay. So he's feeding animals to animals?
No. Okay. Trigger warning. Whoever listens to this has got a thing about animals. Just skip ahead like 45 seconds. He lobotomizes a little bit monkeys.
Oh my God.
And feeds the brain matter of the dead people that were supposed to be cannibalized that already have the disease in them into their brain. And then the brain chemistry changes and they also get the disease.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
Ew.
I don't know if we needed to do all that to prove that this disease is a problem.
That's honestly too much.
However, it was, quote, the first demonstration of the infectious spread of a non-inflammatory degenerative disease in humans. And in the book, the Evu Evu people, they can, physically, they're very young, but they age very rapidly mentally.
Okay.
The real guy, also brought 56 male children of the South Foray people back to the U.S.
Oh my God.
Where they lived in Maryland, where the Evu Evu people also live in the book.
Mm.
And it was one of the children after he was out on his own that was like, my dad molested me. And the guy had been keeping journals of it for decades.
So, okay, what time period was this?
The 90s.
Oh my goodness. Did he go to jail?
For a year.
What?
And then he exiled to Europe. And then he died.
Oh my God. Well, Jessica, that's devastating.
Mm-hmm. He said, quote, Gadzizic wrote about sex between men and boys in New Guinea, Micronesia, and other Polynesian islands, and about his own sexual experiences with boys during his research trips.
Mm.
So the man's been all over the world, just causing absolute havoc on people.
Just wrecking everybody's
life. For this single thing that he
kind of read. And so some author was like, let me be inspired by this?
Yeah.
Well, Jessica, I think that's a worthy book to burn.
Mm-hmm. It would keep me so warm.
Yeah, that would be a satisfying
And I fire. Think I would sleep pretty well on Treasure Island, knowing that this man's legacy is being absolutely brought to light and tarnished like fuck.
I would be my dream that as you burn this book, there was like a magical power of survival on Treasure Island that burned all books. Like all these books. Not all books, but those books.
Everything that he ever did.
Yeah, basically everything he ever did, the original scientist, but also the person who took inspiration from that and decided to write something.
No, I'm about to start.
What, are you going to start something else by them?
Yeah, A Little Life, which is devastating people on the internet.
Mm.
And it's not that I'm going searching for devastating, but I'm hoping that, like, this one is also a bazillion pages long.
Mm.
But maybe there's more plot.
Yeah, maybe I'll just...
Maybe I don't have to be in the jungle for 500 years.
So you're about to start this book.
Yes.
I'm about to start a large book as well. It's The Covenant of Water.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having, like, an executive dysfunction malfunction, and I can't open it because it's so big.
It's big, yeah. It's so I am finding in my old age, the ripe old age of 32.
You know I'm 30 years older than you.
Yeah. Well,
just doing my best over here.
30s are hard.
30s are rough, okay.
I'm going to be...
Actually, no. I might actually overlive my 30s.
How old am I? I'm about to be 32.
What?
Right?
No. Your birthday... You just turned 32.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was in November. Wait, what's your birthday?
November 4th.
Yeah. Didn't you just turn 32? And I gave you...
How old am I?
I gave you a card and stuff. You know, you didn't really know in your 30s when you don't know how old you are. We're going to figure this out later, but I'm pretty sure you're 32. Because I think I'm at like 3 and a few months old. Because I just turned 35. Am I almost 4 years older than you? You look up your birthday while I discuss my book.
Okay.
Which is actually, I think that your book is maybe a little more hot techie than my book.
Hmm. We'll see.
No. Yes. Okay. So for realsies, okay. So you know how everybody goes through a time period? Many people, some people. Mm-hmm. You go through a time period.
Okay.
Where you're like, all of a sudden you're like, maybe I've been through some things.
Yeah.
I'm going to embark on a healing journey.
Adulthood.
Adulthood.
Arguably the worst hood to be in.
It's all, it's difficult.
I have to pause you for just a moment.
Look at the,
I don't. You know, for a couple of episodes, I was regaling you with the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef.
Oh, Are you interrupting my book to talk about Kendrick Lamar?
I'm going
to
circle back.
Okay.
Okay. He just had the pop out.
Which one?
Kendrick.
Kendrick had a pop out?
Yeah. Ken and Friends. He had a concert.
Oh, okay.
Where he's been freaking the hell out of Drake for weeks.
Jake can do nothing about it.
No. And I think somebody at Drake's at Young Money called Kendrick's label and was like, we have to stop this. And Kendrick was like, all right. As it turns out, he had a block party. And he played Not Like Us 5 times in a row. 5 times a stadium full of people said that horrible thing about Drake about fucking around with little kids. Over and over and over and over and over again. But here's where I'm going to circle back to the thing.
Okay.
He had on stage, I have heard rumors that people out of California had their tickets refunded because he only wanted people from the West Coast to come to this concert. He had the Bloods, he had the Crips, he had the Pyrus all on stage together, dancing together, having a time from all different hoods. All I have to say, what I've seen together as well as other hoods come together, adulthood, still trash.
That did come around. Yeah, I'm proud of you for making that all linked together. But as adulthood, you come together with, you're like, I've been through some things. I need to have a time of healing. You start going into trauma stuff. Maybe body keeps score. You start reading shit like that.
I'm gonna be 32 this year.
Oh my God. Are you interrupting me again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let you know that I'm gonna be 32 this year.
Mm. You're 31?
Yes.
Oh my God. So I'm like 3.5 years older than you.
Just work on that crisis.
I'm like, oh my God. Actually, I think you might be the only like really close friend of mine that's younger than me. Because really, most of my really close friends are in their like, they're a few years older than me, or they're like straight up like in their 40s and even up to 50.
You know, I feel like this phenomenon after I got into like grad school where I started to be the youngest in a lot of groups.
Yeah. Well, I think you're really kind of a baller career-wise. Like you've come, this is me announcing my respect for you. Because you've really like, you focus hard for a long time in a way that a lot of people don't. It takes them a little bit to get where they're going.
That is true.
And like me, like I've been like, I was pre-med and then I was in divinity school.
You've lived 150 lives.
Yeah. And then I was in science museum and then I was a historical museum and then I was having kids along that route. And then I didn't want kids. I didn't want kids before I had kids. And then I was like, these guys are great. And then I was never going to date again. Mm-hmm. And then I got married. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing stuff together.
That's true.
You've had a very focused life.
Periodically.
And I've had a lot of detours.
I have. Yeah, because I got to go to undergrad. I was like, I'm going to be a museum nerd. And then I didn't derail from that
at all.
You
stay real focused on that.
I've been seeing a lot more content lately of people are kind of having this like, maybe this feeds into what you're about to talk about. This sort of like early to mid 30s mourning.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm not like my, I haven't hit the same kind of milestones as my friends.
Mm.
I don't have that.
I think everyone's feeling that mourning. It's the funny thing is like the friends are feeling that kind of sadness too though, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think I was reading too, I think there's like a phenomenon in the like millennial women that around mid 30s, a lot of women are like making big shifts. Kind of like, I'm making a pretty big like life shift right now.
Yeah.
I'm making a big career shift.
Uh-huh.
And like, but you've been focused for a long, and that's pretty rare. So I think that's one reason. Like, you just seem like you've stayed your course and been like.
Some could say a hyper focus.
Hyper focus is more. I have maybe the opposite issue.
You? No.
No. I've only.
But I think I've
set pretty one still
One woman
today.
That's like, why don't we. And I don't think she meant it as a dig necessarily, but it was like, why don't my married friends treat my milestones as a single person the same way I treat theirs?
I really feel that. Yeah, and I mean, well, I feel that like as a married person, I got married pretty young. I had kids a little older. Like we were married for a while before I had kids because I really didn't want kids for like a long time. But no, like, I mean, it tends to be like the very typical social stuff that is celebrated. But like my twin sister is like you, like she, you know, didn't have like a long-term committed boyfriend till, you know, pretty recently. She doesn't want kids, has had kids, married, like all those things. Mm-hmm. Like, but like that deserves the same thing. Let me give you the same, like,
a really.
Do you feel honored by me? Do you feel loved by me?
Yes.
I honor your milestones.
Let me give you a really specific example.
Okay, I'm ready.
I've never been to a college graduation.
Hmm.
Maybe on one side, I might be the first in my family to finish a degree. Mm. Not start one, but finish one.
Yeah.
On the other side, no. But I was like, what I would like is to people to just one time celebrate this accomplishment.
Yeah.
What we learned was there's some very specific racism that came out of that. There are some very family tension things that came out of that. And finally, I was just like, fuck it. I'm not going to go. So I went to work on my graduation.
Mm.
And then graduate school, I don't remember the particulars exactly. There were like a funding or they weren't going to do a graduation or whatever. So we had like a cookout.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had like the graduation experience.
Now
when I'm hitting these like exhibit awards or this or that or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm just like very quick to minimize them because I'm just on to the next thing. Like I've never had a choice to just like sit in the experience of like
celebrating your celebration. And I have like, I'm not the first, me and my twin sister are not the first. We're the first of my siblings, of a large family, to graduate college. But we're not the last. We're not the only people who graduated grad school.
Mm-hmm.
We are the first. But I have a very large and boisterous family.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very celebrated. So I can feel that kind of opposite thing. But it's also a little more because, like, you know, I'm married. Like, I have a husband who really celebrates, like, my accomplishments and the things we do. So I always try for, like, not just you, but, like, some of my other single or childless friends to really, like, highlight. Because it's not really fair. Society does tend, there's a societal expectation, like, the things that are celebrated are, like, marriage and children.
Don't get me wrong. I'm excited for your kids. I will gladly.
You do love my kids. They love their Auntie Jess.
Throw a money at a baby shower, a birthday. I'll show up to your things.
I thought
whatever.
You meant my kids, but you
also,
mean all kids.
I mean, I really only like two kids in this world anyway. And
they're my kids.
But I think for people who are like, all like they are uncomfortable with the celebration. Like, I have real conflicted feelings about my birthday.
I can see. Yeah, you do.
Like, growing up, they were fine. But I got to like, to be 19,
mm-hmm.
where it was just like, people refuse to show up you in a way. Not that you're necessarily accustomed to, but period.
Yeah.
And then I had like a real garbage string on the choices of other people's decision-making skills.
You had a hard time for a while there.
Yeah. Then I'm just like, but do it.
Mm.
So I think it's like the same way you want to be real celebrated. You don't really know what to do when you're in the limelight.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that. And only in the way that like I'm a twin. And so I very rarely, we really coincide. Like, even as an adult, like, we had, like, a birthday gathering this year, and it was both of us together. Which I, like, fucking...
So, yeah, the trade-off of, like, as much as you'd like to be celebrated and acknowledged, it's like, it hasn't happened in so long for, like, these very huge things. It's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
And you have to know how to, like, receive it.
Well, that's the thing. And it's also, to brag on myself.
Brag on yourself.
I'm a great gift giver.
Put me to shame.
But it's because of how, unequitable has been in my own life that I don't want to be that to somebody else.
Yeah. And like you're like, you've really overcorrected. But also in a wonderful way. You've inspired me. Because I'm actually, I really struggle with giving gifts. I think I overthink it too much.
That's fair.
Like I'm really stressed.
Uh-huh.
Because I want it to be amazing.
Yeah. Like I appreciate when people give me very simple things.
Mm.
Like I am always going to be like, fuck yeah, to like a certificate or a gift card or someplace because it's like, especially if it's like a specific.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
You know what I mean?
I gave you a gift card to a bookstore.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
We were at breakfast and I was like, I flourished a card and then you gave me like, for my birthday, like 6 things.
That's not true.
You did.
That's not true. It's like a cool 3.
It was. I was like, oh my God. Step out my game.
Audio gave you one. That doesn't count.
Audio God gave me one, yes.
Yeah.
It was very
and cool. He really went through like a crisis of faith at that story.
I appreciate even more so the fact that he struggled with that. Yeah. But I burned that candle to this day.
I have one of them in a different scent. And it lasts forever.
It really is. It's a slow burning. It doesn't have any like smoke.
Mm-mm.
I love a candle.
It's a soy candle.
We love it.
But
all that say, 30s, adulthood is hard. And I think
especially if you're coming out of situations where like whoever raised you didn't quite have it figured out either. Mm-hmm. Not that I expect parents or foster parents or grandparents or guardians or whoever are taking care of these kids to like have it all figured out. But like if you're not given any tools, you're not going to know what tools to pick up along the way.
But then you're going to have to go find those tools.
Well, that's not helping you fix your leg in the Smoky Mountains. So, like, what are you actually going
to
burn?
So I had to go find my own tools.
Okay.
And so I went to look at trauma. You were reading, like, all the classic trauma books. You're reading some other trauma books. It was a year of healing. Yeah, I don't know if any other adults, let me know if you go through a time of healing and you're like, you know what I am done with? Healing. I'm going to take a break. But in the middle of that, all the, like, you know, reading all the trauma books and listening to all the podcasts and doing all the journaling, I came across a book that was called, it was about racial trauma. And it fell in line with some of the other contexts because it was about how racial trauma is inherited through your body. One generation gives it, the other one just receives it down through the years. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was learning a lot about like embodiment of like trauma and how to address that. So it came up. And this book was unique because it also addressed, like, white bodies, too, inherit a response to, like, racism and racial violence. And there is...
Can I tell you something I have experienced? I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. We're going to get to the book, I swear.
Oh, it's happening. I'm keeping the title, like, I'm holding it out.
I have noticed this more in places that are not the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, more than I have noticed it here. Object permanence on the sidewalk. Because the number of times that I have had to silently fight a white man over his behavior on the sidewalk with Audio God.
I will fucking,
I will embarrass us both.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
We will all act a fool.
Mm-hmm. I will win.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I'm not going to do fucking lose a battle.
It's true.
But
one time I watched Hannah catch a bunch of teenagers out of some seats at a baseball stadium. And she didn't even say any words.
No words. I have run into many a white man on the sidewalk. I will not move out of the way for white men.
Nope.
I will run you over. I mean.
It's just I've noticed it a lot with Audio God, who is famously sun resistant.
Mm-hmm. Famously.
And they really like just look directly through him. And I'm like, well, now I'm going to ruin your day.
Now we have to fight.
Yeah.
Will happen. But anyway, it's called My Grandmother's Hands by Resma, and I struggle with the last name, Menakem?
Let me see it.
Menakem.
You know I'm a visual learner.
You are a visual learner. I was painting my notepad. But it is, and it was...
Menakem?
See, that's what I said.
Couple options there.
There's several options there, and I did look it up, and he's not like a well-known author, so I found like multiple different pronunciations of the same last name, which is why I'm struggling. But this author came up with, like, they examine the damage caused by racism in America, where, you know, racism is violent, and it is inherited in your body, and it passes down from generation to generation. And so, like, a way of you integrating with your body is like a way of healing this trauma, which I think is a terrific, like, I think this is something that needs to be studied and needs to be learned because, like, we know that trauma is an embodied experience. And so, of course, racial violence is too. And so that's not the problem. And the interesting twist was that, and this is also not the problem, that white supremacy inhabits white bodies too.
Mm-hmm.
And a way of, like, you know, we both worked in, like, some civil rights world. And so a way I've explained it to my students is, like, a lot of times white people experience white supremacy as shame. You have, like, a embodied response.
Oh, interesting. I have a, wow.
Wow, we probably had the both, but this is the way I take, because they usually view white people coming into, like, a civil rights, but there's some openness there already.
Well, I was thinking about, like, the stereotype that all black people can't swim. How are you supposed to teach someone to swim when your pools are segregated?
Yeah. And so, like, there's, like, literal things like bodies like happen. And so I think that one might have been covered in the book as well. I mean, the first two parts of this book were really, really good.
It started out strong
and really, really needed. And it addressed some things, I think, especially, like, white people need, you know, to learn some of this because you need to address, like, you might have an embodied response where your body's kind of lying to you about, you know, your perceptions of people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to address that. But you also need to address, like, you might have an experience of shame that has you pulling away from a healing of some of that, or reconciling and stepping across the aisle.
Is there any discussion of, like, I don't know what the actual technical term would be. I'm thinking about like when you're pulling away or you're isolating either yourself or others away from like groups of people when like a political like internment camps or like
segregate like kind of
like after 9/11.
Yeah,
in that community,
I can't remember if there was an address of that. I can't remember. It's been a few years now. And so this book started out strong. Mm-hmm. And then the author took it so badly.
Oh.
Because he went into, so we did black bodies.
Okay.
We did white bodies.
Uh-huh.
And then we get into blue bodies.
Okay, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. So.
Cops, right?
Yeah, cops. Yeah. Fucking cops. We start talking about cops like it's their born fucking identity.
ACAB, my friends.
And they have an inherited trauma that comes from being a police officer.
Okay, I think maybe the trauma could come from like the horrible things you have to do as a police officer.
Yeah, I mean, you see horrible things.
Don't.
That was not the approach. Okay. That was not the approach. All right. And so then, and I mean, along the way in the book, there are some, and like, there's a lot of like self-help, like self-therapizing stuff to do, which I think is good because not everybody can afford a therapist.
Yeah.
Everybody has the insurance, covers it. There's a lot of things. So sometimes that is your option. It's the mm-hmm. best option. But like there wasn't enough in the book of like, if you are in a point of like in your life with things, try to see a therapist. These are like some options.
Yeah.
Because every city in the world has like low cost, free sliding scale therapies. Like, I mean, there was none of that. And so, yeah. I was enraged. Because, I mean, that's like...
What a pendulum swing.
Can you believe? But anyway, I was outraged.
Can you imagine? Blue bodies.
No, you chose a vacation and you quit your job at any time.
What's the advice when you take that uniform off?
That's the thing. You know, you should take your uniform.
You're not blue no more.
No. You're just still blue all the time. It's a blue fucking body.
Oh, okay.
Like a Smurf. You're just blue all the time.
That indigo dye and those cotton pants.
You were just
rubbed right off.
Just bled into you.
I see.
Just a blue body. Like it's not the job that you can just fucking quit.
Yeah.
You didn't act. I mean, I understand cops see bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Still making a choice, man.
Yep.
Nobody in this world.
You weren't drafted.
No, nobody's drafted. Nobody in this world pretended you weren't going to see bad things. But also, nobody in this world trained you to handle your internalized racism when you had a fucking gun in your
hand. That is a failure of the police academy.
Anyway, outrage. Burn it. Okay. Because there are plenty of other mental health advocates. Like black, I mean,
yeah.
Think about like plenty of other
What is black this author's background?
The therapist.
Okay. We're not just like making things up as we go along. He's not a Dr. Phil. They're not a Dr. Phil.
They're not a Dr. Phil. The real life therapist. So, I mean, they're coming from some type of like background and expertise in this, which I do appreciate. But like,
I guess that's why the first chunk of the book was so good.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad. But it, I mean, the third part was so off.
Mm.
It sort of discredited the rest.
Sort of sounds like maybe. We could have maybe just stopped after the second part.
Yeah, we could have. It could have been.
It didn't need to be longer.
Could have been a two-parter.
Yeah.
Could have been a two-parter. Alas, he was not. Now I have to burn it. Now I have to burn it. Stay alive in the Muggy Mountains.
Well, I hope that heals your leg. If not your traumas.
I feel like I could wrap the cover. I could like split my leg with the cover.
Okay.
And make it down.
Is that what we're doing? Are we taking, okay, when we're burning these books, is it just, Are we Fahrenheiting 451 and the whole thing's going in the fire? Or are we taking the pages out?
Can I have to be honest with you about something? I love the name of this episode, but I actually don't know what this means.
You've never read Fahrenheit 451?
Oh, absolutely no.
Okay, it's a Ray Bradbury book. It's like a sci-fi kind of situation.
Okay.
Interestingly, it's actually particularly relevant right now.
Oh.
Where the town, I don't remember all the details. It's been a number of years since I read it. But they do mass book burning to keep people from gaining the knowledge that they need to make informed decisions against the local leadership.
Oh. What's that suggest for kind of right now? Now I understand why you named it this. But these are the books we would burn, Jessica. And I think Jessica and I are both readers. And so we might have.
Contrary to the fact that we have stacks of books that I've gone unread because they're so long.
It's too big. It's so big. It will happen. I'm going to make an announcement on the podcast when I start it. Because I've heard it's amazing.
It is good.
So I do
think you're very much going to enjoy it.
I'm going to love it when I start it. Maybe this weekend. I think I'm going to set up a hammock. I'm going to start it. I'm committed.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an announcement.
I find if I schedule some time in the day. Like, I can't read before bed.
I read poetry before bed, but that's kind of it.
But if I schedule I have this habit of coming home from work every day and just disappearing into the shell of a human being.
Yeah, you have to recover.
But if I come home and I keep myself kind of active, then I'm good until bed. So I save my doom scrolling.
Yeah, for bed.
45 minutes before I go to sleep.
Yeah, you're going to
read a couple chapters the second I get home just to decompress. I get through books faster.
I need this thing. That's smart. I need a rhythm. Well, Jessica, this has been fun.
We're going to survive these summer vibes that are also points of physical trauma for us, apparently.
Yeah, we're gonna make it through.
We're going to power through.
Almost dying on Treasure Island.
The power of reading. through the prose of man.
Well, I'd love to hear about the books that our listeners would burn.
I would also like to be put on to some things you wouldn't burn.
Yes. Share your Goodreads with us, please.
Yeah. Or your Beanstacks. I'm enjoying the Beanstack app. I really am.
I mean, I feel like it's gone through an update. Either I've gotten smarter since last year or...
It is. There have been some improvements.
There's some improvements. Yeah. Let us know, y'all.
All right. All you hate lets and hot lets. Bye.